Buckle up, kids, because this is going to be a tough one. You can do it. We will get through it. Captain Daddy. Captain Daddy. I sat at the little kitchen table that barely fit in the dining room. Outside, my kids were playing in the snow, my dog bouncing happily between them. The toaster sprung open. Em, the love of my life and mother of our kids, was at the stove, her back to me, in a house dress and an apron. She was saying, "If you're going to flip, you must commit. Then flip the eggs inside of the pan." "Yes, nailed it," she said, then bowing to the egg. "Good job," I said. Not turning her back, she said, "Piece of cake, honey bear." Then putting the toast on my plate and buttering it quickly, so it was melty and seepy, onto my breadly. And then she grabbed the pan and slid the over-easy eggs right side up on my plate and grabbed a glass of milk. She turned and said, "I'm not bringing more butter." "Hey," I rejected. She looked at me and set my breakfast down. "And I'm not bringing the butter. That is all you'll get." I was visibly angry. Daddy is a Butterton, but Mommy knows best. I smiled. "Thank you, honey." "Are you going to eat?" I asked. "No, I'm going to make the kids breakfast, then have something after I drop them at school." I nodded. She waited for me to start. "I think Mommy forgot something Daddy needs now." I reached for her ass. Em smiled. The door swung open in a rush of kids and fur. My youngest was crying. She raced to my leg. She was the cutest little cockblocker I ever did see. "Darling," I said dramatically. "What's wrong?" I said, pulling her tight. "Rex stepped on me, Daddy," tears running from her eyes. My older daughter said she was making a snow angel, and Rex ran her over. "Rex didn't mean it, Daddy," she said. I hugged her little body. "Honey," her eyes closed, but somehow still leaking. I waited for her to look at me. She didn't. So I rubbed my nose on her nose. She giggled. I said, "He didn't mean it. He thinks he's a puppy." I squeezed her sides, and she giggled again. "Hug me, you fool," I said. And her little arm squeezed me. I squeezed her back. Emma's phone was buzzing on the counter. She stood up to look. She dropped it to the floor. "Oh my God, it's you." I looked up. She turned back. Her face had gone blanched. "It's you. What?" I asked. "You've been selected. It's on the news." '36 was a year of war and scorn. It was damn cold also. This mini ice age was frigid. It was July and almost 12 degrees today. So as things went, not too bad. The earth was going to hell in a handbasket, as they say. War-torn and sick. The next drone strike could be tomorrow. Next week. Now. The American Continental Federation, which was composed of Canada, the United States, and South America, making sense to unite, as other continents did the same. For the power of resources and numbers, had begun building a starship nearly a decade ago. It could hold 25,000 people and voyage to the nearest inhabitable planet, nearly 4.367 light years away. The ship could reach about 1/4 light speed. The journey was estimated to take 30 years. 12,025 spots were open for workers that would maintain the ship, and upon arrival, be the workers that would build the habitats. The 12,025 spots were drawn from genetic variances that could provide the most variation. The idea was that when the receding the new Earth, this was the best way to propagate everyone that was left behind. The odds of being drawn were close to 72,931 to 1, if I had to guess. Everyone knew the odds. We all took a pact that we would enter the genetic drawing, all of us, and if we were drawn, whoever it might be would have to go to bring our genetics to the future world. No one thought any of us would get picked. The family that was left behind would be rewarded by a lottery bonus, a large sum of money that would be paid annually over the next 30 years. It was an incentive for the family and a motivation for the traveler to know they were taken care of. I looked around the room. My brother and his family, and Em and our kids. The kids were playing and wrestling loudly. My brother raised his wine glass, the red fluid splashing in the fishbowl. "To you," he said. My eyes glazed over. Everyone raised their glass. Tears ran down my face. I melted. "I don't want to go," I choked out. "I don't want to leave." I cried openly. My brother hugged me. He gripped me tight. He sighed. "I know, buddy. I know." They all hugged me. Em was crying into my back. My brother looked at her over my shoulder. "When do they come?" "Tomorrow first thing," she said. "Does he need anything?" "No. They said nothing comes aboard." He clapped my back. "Fuck," he said. We all hugged. We didn't sleep. We couldn't. We embraced, sewn together from head to toe, the pulsation of life drumming through our bodies in synchronization. My heart hurt, knowing it would never feel this again. The girls ran into the room and dove on the sheets. "We were scared," they said, wanting nothing more than to sleep in the bed. "Okay, okay." The dog jumped in too. We were all in the bed. As if the sun had never gone, it relit the sky once again. Our tears wet the ground as the door closed behind. "Forever, I leave you. My love, be kind." Doc pushed open the hospital room door. The nurse bots were sponging the sweat from my brow. "Tutu, get up. It's time you're awake." I opened my eyes, my dreams all gone. I looked at the doctor, all smiles on his face. "It's today your release date. I'm here to set you free." "All right," I said. And to that, he nodded his head to the nurse bots. "Ladies," they approached. All of my catheters, hoses, and lines, unattaching the tubing, undoing the straws, and lastly undoing my button for pain. The doctor, knowing the sting of my vein. "You'll be fine, Tutu," he told me. "You abused the button. You know that you did." I nodded my agreement as the nurses pushed me out. "There goes one of the good ones," he said, without a doubt. He fist-pumped himself. "Who's good?" he asked, in a room full of one. "I'm good," he said. "Good, good, good." I told you this was going to be a doozy. Did you feel the daddy sauce in that one? Captain Daddy, spread 'em. Dip.